So let's get to our high school football roundtable. Selins Grove won last week, 28-0 over Shikellamy. Zach Showers joins us. Zach, what was it like watching the suit head down, go to the cart? No, I'm just kidding. No, that's not the first question. What came together last week? I mean, defensively, they played well, but offensively, what came together?
What really came together was the run game for really the first time since week one. Selins Grove was able to establish the running game, specifically fullback Ryan Ahmet had a big game, had over 90 yards rushing and two touchdowns. And the line was just able to kind of stick with it, to move the pile a little bit. There wasn't any, if you want to say, explosive plays as much, but they were able to establish the running game. They put a drive or two together. And just overall be a bit more consistent than what they have the past couple weeks.
Defensively, they played well for the most part. I'd say most of the season. Now, in this game, they pitch a shutout. How much did the offense have to do with the defense shutting them out because of the time of possession?
It did a little bit. Believe it or not, of the 28 points, the offense only scored 14 of them. Selins Grove was able to get on the board in the second quarter on an 86-yard punt return touchdown to go up 7-0. And then at the beginning of the second half, Schick fumbled the opening kickoff and gave Selins Grove a short field. So they were able to get up 14-0. And I think, yes, absolutely, the ability to hold on to the ball a little bit longer. There wasn't quite as many three and outs. Even if you're able to get, a first down or two as opposed to going three and out, that can definitely keep your defense fresh. And I think this team was able to play, especially the defense, was able to play a little bit more confidently, knowing that they had the lead and didn't quite have to play as perfect. And because of that, they just, came back and made a lot of plays.
Playing with the lead is such a big item psychologically. That punt return had to do wonders for them psychologically to do that. So what about this week? You try to make it two in a row, but this one is not going to be easy.
No, it's not. It's pretty interesting. I think this is the first time in Selins Grove football history and probably a lot of local teams' history where they play the same team for the second time in the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, that's the part that's so interesting. Where it's like the NFL schedule, you're playing in division, and now you have something to compare it to the first time.
Yeah, and what's interesting, and I'll come back to that question, but to jump ahead, Selins Grove plays Shamokin next week, and the way points are set up, Selins Grove played Shamokin in week three. They're going to play them in week seven, and there's a good possibility that the two teams will play again in week eight in a district playoff game. So you could end up having a lot of craziness happening with that. But, Selins Grove lost 7-3 a couple weeks ago to Central Mountain, and really they left about 28 points on the board in that first half between twice having the ball inside the 5-yard line, one down to the 1-yard line and the other time down to the 3-yard line, and also a drive late in the game. Selins Grove, I'm pretty confident, I think, is going to be able to handle Central Mountain defensively. They've been able to run the ball, and Selins Grove, for the most part, was able to shut down Central Mountain the first time they played. As we've said a lot the past couple weeks, it's really going to boil down to whether the offense can get things going. Central Mountain was a bit vulnerable last week. They put up a lot of points against Shamokin, but they did give up over 300 yards passing. That's not an area where Selins Grove has had much success this year. They've yet to score a passing touchdown this year. Last week, the wide receivers only had 3 catches. So I think it's going to be interesting to see if Selins Grove can get that rushing game going. And really, we talked, last week about, can Selins Grove just get a couple positive plays? And I think right now, if Selins Grove can just hit a couple plays in the passing game, it doesn't need to be big plays. They don't need to get 300 yards passing. But if they can just hit a couple of those early, it's going to be big for the confidence of the offense, and it also should open up a little bit of the running game more than what they've had lately.
Zach, great work as always. Thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me as always.
That game is on Eagle 107 tomorrow night. 7 o'clock kick, 6 o'clock airtime. All right, Lewisburg. Lewisburg on 100.9 The Valley. Greg Wetzel is there, fresh off firing a 300 par 69.
Steve, I wish I could say that was true, but I can't.
Well, I wish I could have said it too, but, you know.
But you know what? I'm in a better place today, Steve. I'm up above Slate Run in a cabin in Pine Creek.
Oh,
went on
nice.
A big bike ride today on the trails. I've watched three eagles fly over a cabin for about 15 minutes watching them. I'm having a great time up at a cabin right now.
That's incredible, because it's interesting you talk about birds circling. Suit, there were some vultures. And he got out of the car quickly and ran into the building. It's amazing what buzzards do. All right, so.
Exactly right.
Greg, why aren't some of the tumblers falling into place for this team?
Well, you know, Steve, everyone in the Lewisburg coach staff just shakes their head with the schedule that they've had this year. You know, they played Central Columbia, who was ranked in the state at that time.
It's not about to get better.
In the state when they played them.
Greg,
and then they play Montoursville, who was ranked fifth in the state. And
it's
now
not
they get
better.
Southern Columbia, who's ranked one or two, depending on what poll you look at, you know. Schedule is part of it. And you know, Steve, it's not like college where you recruit players. It's who comes up through the system. And right now, their Jimmies and Joes, some aren't quite as good as some of the Jimmies and Joes they're playing right now. And the coaching staff is working with them. They've simplified things offensively. Defensively, they're rotating as many guys in as they can to get them playing time experience so they don't get tired out. But they just have run up against a heck of a schedule this year.
Yeah. I mean, that's really tough, because it can play a game. You know this, Greg. You can get a little bit better, but still plays a game with your confidence a little bit. Like, something goes wrong, and the shoulders go down. And I can tell from when you and I have talked, the Lewisburg kids are trying their darndest. This is not
an
effort thing.
Yep. They really. And you know what? I was at practice Tuesday night. Talked to several kids after practice, and then I talked to Coach Persing and stuff. The kids have a great attitude, you know, and the coaches have to say, look, we're not looking at scores, guys. We're looking at just trying to make you better, make things happen. You know, this is what we want to have happen. You know, we don't need to score 45 points a game to say you guys are playing great offense. We need you guys to follow your assignments and do your assignments, and that's the thing they're working on this week. Don't worry about the guy next to you. Worry about yourself. You fill your gap. Don't worry about the guy behind you filling his gap or beside you filling his gap. Do your job. Don't try to do too much, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
No, and I know what you mean, because I want to expand upon that for a moment.
Yeah.
I'll give everybody a basketball example. You're the underdog. You're facing a top team.
Mm-hmm.
You don't look at it in the entirety of the 40 minutes.
Right.
All right, guys, let's go out. Let's win to the under 16 timeout. Okay, now we're done. Now our next goal is let's win to the under 12 timeout. You break the game down into segments.
Yep.
Is that part of, you talked about let's get better here, is that part of the Lewisburg philosophy right now? Let's do this in segments and not look at the game as its entirety.
Exactly. They're talking. I mean, the other night they spent an hour of practice working on angles, pursuit angles on defense, you know, because they're going up against the Garcia boy, who's a heck of a running back, Gavin Garcia. I mean, his brother is at Michigan right now on a wrestling/football scholarship. This kid's just as good, but he's a great cutback runner. So they're. That was an hour of practice essentially on defense the other night, working and staying in your lanes and pursuit angles if he would try to cut back. So those are like the little things we're trying to work with these kids to get better. Is it going to stop Southern Columbia from scoring 30 points? Probably not, maybe not, but you know what? It could. Because in high school, you never know what's going to happen. And that's why I said, is this an impossible task for Lewisburg? Some might say it is, but it's not impossible, but it's a monumental task for them to compete for four quarters against Southern Columbia. But they could compete maybe for one quarter, like you said, then talk about it, two quarters, and then at halftime go in feeling good about themselves and go from there and see what happens. But it's a game where, you know what, hey, when you're an athlete, you want to see how you do against the best.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's what Lewisburg's being able to do this year. They're being able to compete against the best and see what they need to do to become better athletes or a better team, I guess I should say, because they do have some athletes. Lewisburg, I'm not saying they don't have athletes. They have really some really good athletes, but what they need to do is put it together as a team and not individually, and that's what they're working on.
And that's interesting you mentioned that, because Jim from San Francisco sent an email to the show at the beginning of the week about scoring in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought up, you know, obviously great offensive players, great offenses. I said, but it's a combination of mediocre tackling, which happens early in seasons now because of the way preseasons are constructed.
Sure.
I said, look, I'm seeing, and when you have mediocre tackling, guess what happens? You start taking bad angles.
That's right.
I was glad to hear you talk about the angle part, because I thought that's a really important element. That tells me that's good coaching right there.
Yeah,
you may
not
have.
They're doing a lot of little things right now to try to make these kids better. And you know what? After this week, again, you look at this game on paper, it's not supposed to be close. Who knows what's going to happen? But you know what? They could be competitive in the next few games. They can win the next two games. And that's what these coaches are trying to get their heads right and keep their heads right so they are competitive these last two games of the year.
Hey, it's the best way to approach it. Greg, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Congrats on the 369. You're just too modest to mention.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Take care.
He's seeing bald eagles, and somebody else is seeing buzzards.
And he has joined us now here in studio because can't get in touch with the Chief, so Kevin's over here, and we'll get it going now.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks.
You're much happier now. I mean, you got games to work on. You're in your zone now.
Yeah. And time to take a break. All right. Great to have you with us. Good luck with the game. Good luck with the security. How disappointing was Friday night? Because the punt return should not be a backbreaker. But it sounds to me like it felt like it was.
It kind of was. It was a very good return. The blocking was there. Ford just gets to the wall and just uses the speed. Brett Ford just uses speed down the sidelines and just outruns everybody. And it kind of took the wind out of the sails a little bit. But I think what really made the change is Shikalimi gets the ball to start the second half. It's a 7-point game. And then the kickoff bounces off his chest, off of his knee pad, and right into a Sealands Grove a kickoff team member. I never did see who did get the return because of the quick pile-on, but it just went right into his hands, laid right down, and that is really when the air went out of the sidelines.
All right, so where are they right now with this? They've had some good moments. And they're going to face a terrific team, despite what you think, on Friday.
They are a terrific
night.
Team, yeah.
Don't bother making up for it now. Those people do not like you there.
They are a terrific team. They put up 28 in the first quarter the last time these two teams met.
Yeah.
Where are they at right now? And here's the situation. And we've talked about this on the broadcast several times. You have Duncan Weir, who's a very talented athlete, playing a linebacker, middle linebacker. He's playing it about as well as you possibly can in this 3-5. He loves this mic position. On the offensive side of the ball, he's been, you know, kind of a receiver / running back. He's a guard now. He was a guard last week because Coach Kaiser's running out of offensive linemen. And I said to him in the pregame interview, do you have two offensive linemen here in week 5 that have played two games together? He goes, no.
No.
And that's been the real challenge here for this team. The skill players are there. The position players are there. It's the offensive line. And this is all about combo blocks. I mean, this is all about getting the combo block, getting off onto the next level block, and that's where it's been really, really tough with this patchwork offensive line.
So with all that, I know this is a simplistic question that I've asked many, many times, but how valuable would it be for them tomorrow night to play with the lead?
Oh, I think that's huge. I mean, we saw that against Shamokin, playing with a 2-score lead and then Shamokin making adjustments and making the right adjustments and then just taking over. But again, that was a different football team that we saw at Kent Memorial Stadium with that 2-touchdown lead. I mean, they were playing with a little bounce, a little spring in the step, especially when you had been dominated just a few weeks ago by this Jersey Shore team, both offensively and defensively. And this is a really good Jersey Shore team. I mean, I thought this would be a team that would be in rebuilding mode, but they're not. I mean, they're playing sugar huddle. It's not really no huddle. It's very fast tempo. Everything comes in from the sidelines. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You see this an awful lot. All the signs come in from the sidelines, and I think in week two, especially early on, it kind of caught Shikellamy's defense off guard, especially not having that full summer practice that you normally have to get in shape for something like that.
Yeah, I agree. That becomes, conditioning becomes a big issue, especially when you don't have a lot of numbers.
Exactly.
And so they take advantage of it, and it's smart. I mean, it's a smart thing for them to do.
But I don't think that is going to have the same impact now as it did in week two. I mean, it's, again, still very good offense right there, and throwing it at 75% completion rate, I mean, that's unheard of.
Yeah, no, that's really impressive. It's 7 o'clock tomorrow night, 6:30 the airtime. And, yeah, sorry about he's got Eagles. I was sorry to hear about the vultures around your car.
I enjoyed Sunday. There were a couple of moments that I didn't enjoy very much. I mean, it was nice to see Sanders have a good run. I wished it wouldn't have been that weak. But I was glad he had a nice run, and I was really glad when the game ended the way it did. Listen, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying the last time the Steelers were 4-0 to start the year happened twice, and it was 78-79, and those were Super Bowl years. Make your own judgments.
Does it say anything to you that one of the key members of that I actually work with now and doesn't play any longer?
Yes, so. It does. And I purposely set you up for that, too.
My friend, great to have you with us. Appreciate you very much.
Thanks so much, Steve. Great to be with you.
Great broadcast tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, 6:30 airtime with Kevo and the Chief.